Hello, everybody. Welcome to This Must Be the Place. I'm your host, Imogen J. Lister. I am here with the lovely Megan Aversa, a singer, songwriter here in Toronto. I'm really excited to talk about her music. I listened to her album at the beginning of January and was really blown away. And I heard it live for the first time last year at the Monarch. And it was like a crazy experience, incredible. There's so much emotion. There's so much like raw feeling in it. So I'm really excited to talk to her a little bit more about her music and some of these songs that she's chosen, which I listened to this morning. And we're going to get into it. How are you doing, Megan?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really, like I said, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. Yeah. I think it's a cozy, chill little vibe while we get into it. Would you like to introduce yourself? Like, how would you introduce yourself as an artist?
I would just say, yeah, I'm a singer-songwriter. I put out a record last June. And, yeah, I just play shows and, you know, write stuff.
What instruments do you play? Like,
I play guitar, mostly. My first instrument was piano. Mm-hmm. I took lessons when I was really young, but I don't have like much theory background, so I can kind of piece together like bass. I played the flute in high school.
Cool.
But I just kind of go by ear and what I like, and I like open tunings and guitar and kind of just like whatever sounds good.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's sick. I don't like just a little bit of everything, and
yeah it's fun that way.
Yeah, keeps you on your toes. Yeah. Is there anything you want to like share about your like current project that you're doing? Or
yeah so I just so the record I put out was my first full-length record, and it's called Blood Moon. Mm-hmm. And it was a collection of songs that I wrote over like a four-year span.
Cool.
And mostly just about my own experiences with relationships and my own relationship with myself. And it was kind of about like not facing bad things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes good things, I guess, just kind of putting things off and not thinking about them in the moment. And like, I'll come back to that. I'll figure out how I feel about that later. And like, that kind of thing, which I tend to do. I'm trying to get better with it. But at the time, I felt like I had a lot of that. And so a lot of the songs are me just kind of facing things that happened to me over so many years. And I made the record with John Savard, mm-hmm. producer and drummer and multi-instrumentalist. Like, he played a lot of stuff. He like relearned the trumpet for some of the songs. And he had a heavy hand in that. We co-produced it. And yeah, it was a really fun process. It took us about a year and a half to make it. And it was just us kind of being like, okay, well, what can we do with, here are the bones of the song. Where can we take it? How different can we make each song? We have like a couple little things through it, like feedback tones that kind of laced throughout the album that you hear like the beginning, middle, and end. I was really inspired by like a lot of records that I heard over the years that did things like that.
Cool.
Referencing earlier songs, and I do that kind of the first and the last song kind of come together at the end and things like that. And so it was very like thought out, planned. And just a huge labor of love from me and John and my other bandmates that played on it.
Mm-hmm. Very meticulous, it seems.
Yeah.
I think when I first listened to it and I reached out to you about the podcast, I said I caught up on, I said like boy genius vibes. And I think it's like really like that songwriting where like you're really paying attention to like the details and the lyrics of the songwriting and like making it all come together that kind of drove me to say that and gave that inspiration.
And thank you for saying that. I really like detailed, specific songwriting, mm-hmm. because I think the more candid you are with your own experiences, even though I'm writing about something very specific that happened to me and the exact events of the song are super specific, someone else could hear it and relate to it. even mm-hmm. though they didn't go through exactly what I went through, they went through something similar. And that's those are type of the types of songs that resonate with me. Mm-hmm. And I like to know what happened. Like, I want to know, like, I want to hear, like, a specific event and then interpret it in my own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the same way. I also really like getting, like the details on somebody's life so that yeah. I can, like, put the song in place and be like, okay, yeah. I feel like this is about this person. Or I feel like this is about this.
Yeah.
And see how it goes.
Yeah, I like that. But what I don't like so much is when artists really sit down and talk out what the song is about.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'm like, that's not what I thought it was about. Mm-hmm. And I had my own interpretation of it. Mm-hmm. Now, I know it meant something different to the artist, but I like my interpretation of it. Like, it meant something different to me. Totally. So I also try not to do that with my own songs, to say, like, this is about, mm-hmm. stay kind of vague. Like, it's about whatever you think it's about, you know?
Mm-hmm. I've brought up this quote already on the podcast, but, like, David Lynch, mm-hmm. who, like, is, like, I don't want to speak about the film. The film yeah. does the speaking.
Yeah.
That's the vibe for the music for you.
Yeah, yeah. And I like creative people that do that, because mm-hmm. you can sit down and say it's about XYZ, but mm-hmm. at that point, like, it almost doesn't matter. It's about it's about a different thing to every other person who listens to it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's... So these songs that we're going to be listening to, do you have your own interpretation of them, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, you know, they're all love songs to me. And when I was picking the songs, I realized a lot of love songs, in my perspective, are kind of not really love songs. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are kind of heartbreak songs.
Cool.
Or, like, after the fact love songs. And I think I write a lot of songs like that. Like, they're not in the moment how you feel. It's like how you feel afterwards. So they come from a different place. But yeah, these songs that I picked are three songs that are specifically about, like, love in different ways. And I definitely think I have an interpretation of them that may not be, like, the most profound. Like, you and I might have similar interpretations mm-hmm. of them.
Cool.
But to me, they're love songs.
That's what matters. Yeah. Yeah. If they, like, fit into your life in that mm-hmm. way, then that's how it comes across. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay. I think that's a good time to jump into the first song then. This song is such a classic, and I'm really excited to listen to it on the podcast. And it's one that I'm glad you've been able to choose, because I feel like it's one of a lot of people's favorite love songs, but yeah. in, like, the best way. There's a reason for it, right? Yeah. So this is Songbird by Fleetwood Mac. I had to let the piano finish because it's so pretty. And just, like, so sing-songy, that song. It really, like, creates a world in itself that's really, really beautiful and, like, yeah. idealistic.
Yeah, it's so good. Mm-hmm. Like, it gets me every time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. Do you have any, like, memories associated with this song, or?
Yeah, I have a lot. I remember trying to learn the piano part mm-hmm. when I was a kid, like, maybe, like, 7th grade, and, like, watching this, like, slowed down piano tutorial. And I kind of only got so far with it. Yeah. And it's a little tough to play. I'm not the best piano player. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I've always loved it so much. And I actually saw the full lineup of Fleetwood Mac cool. when I was in high school. And it was the first tour that Christine McVie had mm-hmm. been on with them since 1998. And she closed the show. And, like, I remember, like, they were like, please welcome to the stage our songbird, Christine McVie. And she sat down and played it. I was like, I think I cried during Landslide. I cried during Songbird. And then when Christine McVie passed away, I was at work and I was, like, crying in the bathroom. And, like, I think she's just such a great songwriter. Mm-hmm. And there's so many, like, there were honestly a couple songs that I was kind of, like, I was thinking of over and over, and a couple other Fleetwood Mac songs, but for me, like, Songbird is just kind of, like, the one. And yeah, just lyrically, instrumentally, Such a good song.
Yeah, it's like I said, like it just creates like a world where it's like so sing-songy, and then to call it Songbird, like it all comes together.
Yeah.
And then use like I Love You as almost like a Lala kind of vibe. Yeah. Like it works so well.
So
it
smart. Works.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. Do you remember like the first time you heard the song or heard like Fleetwood Mac in general?
I think the first time I heard this song was on Glee.
Oh.
In the Fleetwood Mac episode. Because I was like pretty young, and I remember just kind of being like, holy shit, like Fleetwood Mac, and kind of like going to my parents and being like, do you guys know about Fleetwood Mac? And they were like, yeah, like we know about Fleetwood Mac. But I'm pretty sure that was the first time, and maybe the first time I heard any Fleetwood Mac. My parents were both really into like metal. Like one of their first dates was like an Iron Maiden concert. Cool. And so like I had kind of that influence from them growing up, and then some of the classics, but my dad was never really like a dad rock guy. He was like a hair metal guy, and so like I would kind of take his CDs growing up, and they're just, he just didn't have Rumors. So I think I just like didn't hear it until I was like a bit older, like a preteen, and then I just like all through high school I was just like obsessed with Fleetwood Mac.
I get it. Yeah. I was definitely one of those, I was one of those kids who like sometimes like if like media spoke to me like too strongly, I was just like, I am going to cry.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. This is one of those songs. Yeah. Where it was like, it took me to like being like an adult to like actually like really listen and appreciate, because I was just like avoiding the tears that it would cause as a kid.
Me too. This is not, it's not one of my most listened to Fleetwood Mac songs or songs in general, because for a long time I almost couldn't listen to it because I was like, I'm gonna cry if I hear it.
Exactly.
And yeah, and then like becoming an adult and like kind of I guess being able to relate to it more is like crazy. And yeah, it's just like one of those songs that has been very important to me like my whole life.
Are there, has it like grown in meaning as well, like you said, like as you like have experiences, so what are some of those experiences?
I think just like relationships and like being in love, like for real, especially like as an adult, because I remember going through my first breakup when I was like 17 and like being like, no one's ever felt this pain before, like who could possibly know what I'm going through? But then like having kind of more involved and like intertwined relationships and just kind of I guess learning more about life and love as you go, like every relationship teaches you something new, and so sometimes there are songs that almost resonate with you in every relationship or like every time you're in love, but then sometimes you're like, oh well, I know now I wasn't really in love back then, like it wasn't Songbird. Like I didn't have those feelings about that person when I was 17, but then being in like my early to mid 20s and dating people and kind of being like, oh, I think I like have a better grasp on love now, you know.
Sorry, welcome Sophia.
And I love Sophia.
Songbird relates to Sophia for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's really beautiful that like it's, it really does take like a bit of growth to like figure out what am I trying to say here, like it really like I also feel where like I've had to like grow to learn what love was and like understand what really wasn't. And even like as like in my 20s I feel like I've been in relationships where I've just been like, yep, this was love because I'm designating it as love.
Yeah.
And then like, but then when you actually feel it, it makes such a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. And I also, I'm a big fan of like kind of applying love songs to non-romantic love too, because I think that up until a certain point, depending on your own experiences, like I didn't really start dating until like the end of high school, and so there were relationships in my life like with family or with friends where it's like that's kind of who you would think of. You're like 12 and you hear Songbird for the first time and you're like, maybe you think about like your best friend or like your mom, you know? And like, I actually have known people over the years who have interpreted like breakup songs as relating to like death and like kind of where you go like, oh, I never would have thought of that song in that way. Mm-hmm. And so I like that concept too. Like, it's not, the song doesn't only resonate when you're in love romantically, right?
Exactly, exactly. It really applies to, like, everyone around you. And I think that that is really what makes, like, such a beautiful love song, is when you can, like, apply it to those other relationships and makes it so timeless.
Yeah, yeah. Like, universal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. That's the word. Yeah, I feel like this is a song where it's like, okay, I can see this relating to, like, my mom. Yeah. At some point in my life. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think, yeah, like, being able to apply love songs outside of just romantic love, especially platonic love, is, like, so overlooked in so many ways. And very few people are, I feel like, writing for platonic love.
It's rare. I have, like, my best friend, Jessa, we always say we're soulmates, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's, like, it's just as important of a relationship. Sometimes more important. Sometimes it's there for you when romantic love isn't, you know? And, mm-hmm. like, so many relationships are important.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite lyric in the song?
Ooh, switched the interview. I gotta say, I really do love when they say, like, I love you, I love you, I love you. Just because...
Like, never before.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's so sing-songy, and there's, like, a break in the music a little bit that really just, like feels so fluttery and so nice, and it really captures that feeling of like a Sunday morning kind of vibe to me, like that, like, pure peace with somebody that I think is, like, so special. Do you have a favorite lyric?
I mean, like, I love the songbirds are singing, like, they know the score, because I think it's, like, it's kind of a way of saying, like, you're feeling a love so deeply that you think, like, the songbirds have, like, caught on to what you're feeling, kind of thing. Like, you think it's, like, such a profound experience, mm-hmm. that, like, even something in nature is kind of, like, just cluing into it. Like, it's almost like you, like, wake up for the first time, mm-hmm. you know? And then I also just love the, like, I wish you all the love in the world, but most of all, I wish it for myself. So good. Beautiful. It's so good. It's all good. Like, it's...
it's beautiful. I think that first lyric, it really adds to, like the world building of the song. I think that's something that, like, sort of, like, casual, I don't want to, like, not casual listeners of music, but people kind of, like, overlook sometimes, is, like, how everything kind of makes, like, a world. And I think, like, it became, like, kind of in people's forefront when, like, Chapel said, like, you know, I only do things that add to the world of the character and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think, like, this song paints, like, such a beautiful world and, like, such a unique, like, it's such a peaceful, calm, and, like, to have, like, the birds singing with it and, like, it really creates, like, to me, it's really, like, reminiscent of, like, having, like, a coffee in the morning with someone you love, and that's what it sounds like. Is there anything else you want to share about this song or Fleetwood Mac?
I think that's it. I think they're, like, obviously one of the coolest bands ever. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've never met anyone that didn't like them.
Yes, definitely.
Which is a unique place to be in, like, such a long-running mm-hmm. band. Mm-hmm. And I could have picked Silver Springs. Like, I could have, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many. And that's another one that, I mean, that's kind of, like, that's, like, an after-the-fact breakup song. But to me, I'm like, one of the best love songs ever. And it's like, it's not really even a love song, but, you know, I love them.
It strikes that, like, feeling of, like love and, like, the poetry in it mm-hmm. as well. Which is really, like, what Fleetwood Mac has always done well, is, like, poetic songwriting in a sense. Yeah.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is, like, kind of a theme in the music that you picked, is, like, it's all very poetic, which you talked about at the beginning.
Yeah, I think, like, if I want to hear a love song, that's kind of what I want to hear. They're all just kind of, like, piano ballads,
mm-hmm.
like, very, like, open,
very, like, stripped
heart
back
on the table.
Yeah Beautiful. Okay, I think that's a good time to jump into the next one then. This next song is Take It With Me by Tom Waits. This is one that I hadn't heard of before I listened to it this morning. So it was, like, very much a tone shift for me. I was like, this is so interesting. So I'm excited to talk about it. Yeah. Okay, here we go. I have so many thoughts. But I am just going to bring it back around from the echo. On our way over here, you said that a lot of these songs are not so much about, like, like relationships with people, but your relationship with yourself.
Yeah.
Does that apply to this song?
I think so. I think what I really love about this song is like every relationship in your life is like so private and personal. And I always think about how like when you are really close to someone or you love them, you get an experience with them that no one else gets. And it's like I think about like when like my relationship with, let's say, like my dad is like I see like so much of him that like no one else will know. So I can go on and on about my dad, but no one else is going to kind of know what I'm talking about because it's such a personal thing. Or like every person that you have like a platonic or romantic relationship with, you can tell other people what it's like or what they're like, but they'll never really see it the way you do. So you have such a unique experience with it. And I like the sentiment of like, I'm going to take it with me when I go, because it's like, it's only ever yours, you know, it's like so personal. You can share it with people, or people write like memoirs about their parents and stuff, and you can kind of learn about it, but you're kind of just like, cool, like that's like an interesting person, but you have such an outside perspective of it. And the way that he describes all these like little parts, it feels like such an honest portrait of like someone that he loved, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Where you kind of get a glimpse of it, you almost feel like you can see it, but it's like a quick snapshot. And the song is definitely like, it's also about dying, which yeah. is like the type of thing that I love in a song. Like, it's not just like happy, happy, I love you all the time. I love it. I love Tom Waits. He's like such a good songwriter, and I love this whole record. And I remember the first time I heard it, it just kind of like stopped me in my tracks. And it's also a song I can't really listen to. Like, I thought about it for this podcast, and then I went to listen to it, and I was like, I can't listen to this on my lunch break right now. Like, it's too much, you know?
Yeah, I think what you're saying about like no one will ever really know is so interesting. This is the second episode this has come up in. But I had like a family member pass like back in September.
Yeah.
And it's like, and like not many people knew him because he like lived in a hospital. And so it's like no one will ever really know who he was. And like you know, like no one will ever know like that dynamic.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really, really beautiful way to put it, of just like when that relationship is like done in a physical sense anyways. It's like, yeah, like there's a way to like understand that dynamic is just like no longer, and you just kind of have to say goodbye to it, and that's okay.
Yeah And I'm very sorry for your loss. And it's like the type of thing where like for you, it's like that is a relationship where like you basically have like, it's like documented in your brain.
Yeah.
And it's like something that is now completely yours, and you'll have forever, and you can always like revisit it. And you can like, I saw the zine you made of like the memories. That was like so beautiful. And it's like that kind of thing where it's like, now I can see that snapshot of your memories and be like, wow, like what an experience. But I don't know how it is in your head.
Yeah.
You know, it's completely yours. Right.
Is there a place where that like sentiment came from for you, like in your life, if you want to get into it?
Yeah, I think I just like I've known quite a few people, like people in my family and also some friends that passed quite young. And I think like I spent a lot of time from a young age like thinking about death. And it just was something I was kind of like a concept that I still like, I felt like I had a grasp on it for a while. And then you have like life experiences that just completely flip it on its head, and you're like, I don't know anything about this. Like, you know, there's always new ways that it's going to present itself. But I do think that that's like basically what life is all about, like the brevity, and that's like what makes it beautiful. And sometimes like people pass before their time, but that's just all part of it, you know? And ultimately, like, whatever impact that person had on you, that now impacts your whole life. and informs like every relationship afterwards and like all the things you take with you and you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone kind of comes into our life for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We won't go to the next song yet, but I did find it like there the thing that spoke to me about the next song is that I always have a trouble, or I have in the past anyways, had trouble like letting go of people and accepting that they're temporary in their life.
Yeah.
So it's a nice contrast between these two songs yeah. to have both of those sentiments in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think it takes a bit of like growth to be like, yeah, like it's okay that people come and go and that's yeah. part of it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I have a good grasp on it at all. Like I struggle with that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely like something that, yeah, like everyone has to, you have to accept it in your own terms, but not in a way of like, just accept it and be fine with the change and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's like every experience is for a purpose, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think I, for one, like, would get, like, fixated on the idea of this purpose. And mm-hmm. then I'd be like, well, they came into, like, you know, what are the chances of us meeting? So it must have been for a reason. So yeah. they can't leave.
Yeah. Oh, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then when you let them go, you can kind of appreciate it more once somebody leaves. And you're like, okay, that was... They served whatever purpose it was meant to be, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It allows you to reflect on it.
Yeah. It's a hard thing to accept, though. And it's...
Definitely.
I don't think it should be easy. Like, it's a pretty heavy thing that you have to face, like, your whole life, right? So...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah, what do you think of Tom Waits, if you never heard him before?
Never heard him before. Such a grovelly voice.
Yeah.
Poppy seems very curious about what I'm gonna say here. very deep voice. Do you have thoughts on Tom Waits?
I love Tom Waits. I was just yeah. surprised
awesome.
You heard him before.
Really? No, I hadn't. So I'm glad to like seems like such a classic. Like, yeah, I'm also kind of surprised because like giving that very like folksy kind of like very classic, very like down to the bare bones kind of vibe.
Yeah, like the hearing the hammers on the piano and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, so bare and like such a beautiful piano part as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that Mule Variations is a great record. You'll probably be like, some of his songwriting is quite eccentric, and he's also just a really cool person. Like if you
cool
feel like
do a deep dive,
yeah, yeah. reading about him, really cool guy.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. so cool. Yeah, I really couldn't help but notice that, like, how raw the piano sounds with his voice. Mm-hmm. And, like, pairing those together, I feel like it would only work in this instance.
Yeah.
Like, it's
yeah.
like, this is the only time.
Yeah.
I'm going to repeat your question from before, but do you have a favorite lyric in this one?
Yeah, it's, I remember the first time I heard the last verse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in that land, there's a... town, in the town there's a house, inside the house there's a woman, like that thing.
Mm.
I love that verse so much. Like I just remember being like so wowed by it, and it's like what really stuck the song to me.
Mm.
But I think the whole thing is like, it's really masterful songwriting. It's mm-hmm. like, it's basically like every verse is great. Yeah, like, all that you love is all that you own, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just all of it.
All of it.
Perfect song, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Incredible. Yeah, I really liked what you said about, like, those small little moments, like, specific moments. Because, like, yeah, the lyric that really stood out to me was the one where he mentions, like, the porch.
Yeah.
It felt just like the old days. We fell asleep on Boyle's porch, and I'm going to take it with me when I go.
Yeah, because that's, like, that's what I mean. It's, like, those situations. And, like, when I hear that, I think about being, like, on my... grandma's porch when I was a kid, and it's like that's a memory like only I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like some things like that just kind of burn into your brain and you never forget them,
create like a core memory.
Yeah, yeah. And then like you kind of think about like what things you're gonna think of like for the rest of your life, you know. Mm-hmm. Like those situations that really stick.
Yeah,
yeah.
I had a realization recently of like kind of like one of those like first day of the rest of my life kind of moments. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting when you realize that you know it, or when you like look back and you're like, I definitely almost like should have had one of those moments, but I can look back on it and be like, okay, that is definitely like one of those like key moments in my life where something turned or something
yeah
something influenced it. Yeah. Okay. Should we listen to the Nas song?
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, when I was listening to these songs this morning, the transition from like the piano ballad to this was so fun. I was like, yeah, this is a good range. Yeah. Good selection. So for Megan's last song, we're listening to I Want You to Love Me by Fiona Apple. The chaotic little end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. There's something so real. It's so real to like have that kind of like desperation when it comes to love, like begging someone.
Yeah, that's like the thing I love about it, for sure. I love songs that are just like full-blown desperate yearning. Mm-hmm. And like, but I like how she does it in this song, where it's like it's almost like demanding.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's like really like firm with it. Like it's not like I really want you to love me. It's like in your face. And yeah, she's just like one of the best. I love
definitely
all her stuff. So, but yeah, I remember when I first heard it and I was just like, wow, I wish I wrote this, you know? Yeah.
She always does like the great thing of being a little bit like feral as a woman.
Yeah.
Which comes out, I feel, in like the best ways in a song like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she does it in like a really cool way.
Mm-hmm. It's like very like freeing, I feel, for a lot of people who connect to that and like really allow themselves to just like feel your emotions.
Yeah, like cathartic. Mm-hmm. and yeah, I think I also just like the sentiment, because usually love songs are kind of like I love you. Mm-hmm. And I like it kind of being reversed, like admitting, because that is a lot of it a lot of the time, like you love someone, but you also want them to reciprocate, right? So I think it's nice to kind of say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like hear it and not feel like you're being unreasonable.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think there's something that I kind of interpreted from the song is I'm someone who I really like being able to say like, I love you, or I like you, or I have a crush on you, and it like someone not feeling a need to reciprocate it. And I feel like I get that sentiment in the verses, and then she flips it and she's like, I want you to love me.
Yeah.
Like, you need to return this. Yeah.
Yeah. The second verse is, like, just one of my favorite verses ever.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any, like, feelings of, like, deep yearning that have been lingering in your life? Or
yeah, I'm a yearner. I'm a yearner. I'm not, like, I think it's also kind of more of a, not something I always express. More kind of subtle, but like internally, for sure. And I think like everyone is either scared of or doesn't deal with rejection well to an extent. I for sure, like even like as an adult, just do not fare well with rejection.
Mm.
So I've always been the opposite of what you said. Like I'm almost never someone to like tell someone that I like them. Like I don't think I've ever been the first person in a relationship to be like, hey, I like you. I've just never like been able to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then like once relationships develop, it gets easier. But yeah, I think there's something about it that in this song, like being able to kind of sing it and say it is nice, you know. But yeah, I do think I've had a lot of experience with like that type of feeling of just like really wanting someone to love you,
reciprocate what you're feeling.
Yeah And it's also like a universal experience, but it's a bit harder to kind of express and portray in like a cool song.
Yes,
you know,
like it's not, I wouldn't say at all it's a sad song.
No.
It's so intense. Yeah. There's such intense, raw feeling there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with songs, like, you don't really want to push too far into, like, desperation or self-deprecation either. Like, there's a fine line, I find. Because some songs are kind of just like, okay, like, I get it, or it's, like, a bit whiny or something. But I don't think this song is at all. So, yeah, I love it. I love the expression and just kind of like I guess like giving into that want as well, and kind of saying like I don't care if if you don't, but I want you to,
you know? Yeah. Like, give me something as well. Yeah. Like, just give me, like, anything. Or, actually, I'm going to revoke that and say, I think that there's a very clear desire in this song. And it's not, and I feel like that's what avoids, like, the whininess of it. Is that she's just like, this is what I need.
Yeah, because she knows what she wants. Yeah, and, like, the thing where she's basically like, I know it doesn't even matter, but if I'm like having this experience, like if I'm a human, this is what I want. And she like goes so far beyond it to basically be like, I know none of this matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a sound is still a sound around no one. Like those, I'm like, how did you write that? You know, like, makes me angry, but
where did you come up with that?
Yeah.
Is this one of your top Fiona Apple songs or?
Yeah, I think so for sure. Like the whole record is cool, it's fun. I remember like when it came out and it was like nice to get a new record from her and have it be kind of like experimental and the different sounds she was doing and stuff. I am, however, like a When the Pawn super fan, so
yeah.
It's like kind of hard for me to pick other songs from her. I love the way she utilizes like the rage without even sounding that angry, you know, like she like dials it in like the perfect amount. She's still like very eloquent with it. Yeah.
It's interesting that you say that, because I feel like, in your record, there's a point where you, like, scream.
Mm-hmm.
And then hearing about your background from your parents being, like, metal fans and stuff.
Yeah.
It's, like, almost like you like to find that area where there's, like, the in-between of controlled rage and, like, what level of rage is acceptable in this point kind of thing. Or, I want to say acceptable, because that feels very, a little bit misogynistic, but like
well, like, you also like, you can't be too angry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially not all the time, but you also have to, everyone gets angry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know people who are kind of like, I don't really get angry, and I'm like, you have to be angry sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are things that are gonna happen that are gonna make you angry. It's fine. You can be angry, you can be pissed off, but yeah, I definitely, like, I grew up listening to a lot of heavier music, especially like in high school and stuff. I like a lot of like post-hardcore and stuff, which is what kind of inspired the scream.
Yeah,
it was just like kind of like the cathartic thing, and like I love screaming in music, like almost in any capacity, because it's always like, for me, like I have almost like a visceral reaction to it, where I'm like, this is so like emotional. And it serves such a good purpose. And it's just great to hear someone just kind of, like, let it all out,
you know? There's a reason you're getting it out in that moment.
Yeah.
There's an artist named Quinny.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Quinny?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because I was going to say, like, I saw her live when she was in Toronto a couple years ago. And I feel like her music, like, you think it's going to be kind of, like, we call it, like, headphone music.
Yeah.
Where, like, you go and see someone perform live and they just kind of perform the songs, and you're like, okay. But then she's, like, on her knees, like, screaming on the stage.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, oh, you have so much emotion in this album. Like, this is so important to you. And,
that's
like,
cool.
That's a really, like, awakening moment, I feel. Especially when it comes out live, it's like, yeah.
No, that's cool to know about her. I'll definitely try to catch her if she's back, because I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah, no,
you know?
I was not. I was, like, expecting. I was, like, debating going, because I was like, is it just going to be, like, you know, a little sing-song, like, whatever. But it was... it was really cool experience to see. Yeah.
That's
really
cool.
Really cool. Really raw.
Yeah. I definitely recommend screaming.
Yeah.
To anyone. Like, just like let it out, like, you know, obviously in a controlled space. Like, I got to do it in the studio and it was very cathartic. You get like an adrenaline rush and you feel kind of like insane. And then I had like, I like crashed after. Like, I did like one or two takes, because the first one I started laughing
because
I was just kind of like, there's no way this sounds good. And John was like, no, it sounds great, keep going. And I was like, okay, if you say so. And I couldn't, like, it felt so like insane that I couldn't imagine it sounding fine. So then I just did like another take of it, and then we just kind of tried to see like how long I could go with it. And then I just felt really, like, jittery. And then a couple minutes later, I'm, like, sitting on the couch and I was like, I need a minute. Like, I think it was just, like, an adrenaline rush and then crash.
Totally.
Because, like,
I feel that.
Who knows what your body thinks is happening when you're screaming? Like, your brain probably thinks you're, like, about to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when else, never, there's never been another point in my life where I just, like, screamed.
Like, blood-curdling just, scream.
Yeah, yeah, just, like, literally, I'm about to be killed. So, my brain probably went into, like, survival mode, you know? And it was mm-hmm. probably, like, what are we doing? Where do we need to run? Like, what's going on, right? So, I think it's just, like, an instant, like, spike and then drop in mm-hmm. adrenaline.
I get it. I don't know if I've ever just screamed without a purpose. Like, I feel like every time there's been, like, a reaction to something. Mm-hmm. Okay. Roller coasters, obviously. Yeah. And then in school, I was told we were shooting a music video, and my editor came to me and was like, I think you need to do a reshoot. And I was like, just give me a second. And I went outside, and I just, like, screamed. And our friend Matt says, he's like, I've never heard a sound like that come out of anyone. We had, like,
that's awesome.
Everyone just kind of looked, and I was like, okay, I'm fine. And then I went and sat with her, and I was like, okay, what do we need to do?
Yeah, you got to do it.
Yeah.
You do it outside, scream into a pillow, mm-hmm. anything.
Sometimes it just got to happen. Yeah.
It feels good.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you have, like, okay, and you're, like, next projects that you're approaching. Do you feel like you want to try and find, like, the balance of anger or, like, these emotions? Or do you think you're going to, like, deep dive into it? What's, like, the next vibe going to be? Like, Fiona Apple or, like, screaming?
I actually, like, I do feel like in the past couple months and stuff, and that I've been, like, kind of working on new material, I've been feeling a bit more, like, kind of quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the songs I've been writing lately have been a little bit more subdued. And so I do want to find a middle ground in a way to make sure that they're still kind of, like, intense and full of emotion, like the way that quiet songs that I like sound.
Mm.
And then I'm not 100% sure what direction I'm going to go in when making my second album or any other upcoming projects. So I have to just kind of see, but the way that I've been feeling internally has been a bit more, like,
chill. Is that, yeah.
So that's kind of what I feel like I'm going to end up channeling.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. It'll probably just be a byproduct of, like, the way, like, what my life's been like the past couple months.
Cool.
So maybe a little bit more mellow, yeah. But we'll see. We'll see when the time comes. Just maybe more screaming.
Yeah. You get in the studio and it just needs to come out. Like, you know.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Yeah. I'm hyped to see, hyped for everything that you have coming up.
Thanks.
I got a bit chat. I got a little bit of a sneak peek.
Yeah.
So
there's
I'm
stuff.
Excited. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Megan. Is there anything else you want to say or anything else you
want to? Well, thanks for having me. I love the whole podcast you have going on. I think it's such a good idea and so cool. So I'm really excited to hear the other episodes and yeah. Thank
Definitely,
you.
Yeah. Thank you for being here and thank you for kind words. Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to This Must Be The Place. Thank you, Megan, again. Be sure to subscribe to This Must Be The Place wherever you can find your podcasts. Leave a comment, leave a review, recommend it to a friend. Recommend me an artist to have on. I love to hear about who you'd love to hear me talk to about their favorite love songs. Stay up to date with new episodes on our Instagram at This Must Be The Place Pod, and subscribe to our newsletter because that's the best place you can get all the music and all the playlists and find out about new episodes all in one place. I'm looking forward to talking again with you guys and whoever our next guest will be, and it'll be super fun. Lots of love, have a good week, and we'll chat soon. Bye.